rather than giving my, I have to be the first one to give my ideas, because my ideas are so good. Your ideas are good, right? Am I right? Yes? We want to get it out, but so many times we want to make sure we get it out first, because we have the best idea. We have the best idea. And instead, what we need to do is to wait. Hear them out. Get out your little sketch pad. Write down those ideas. Compare it to yours. See, leaning in and depending on God rather than using my own strength or will. See, we need to examine our thoughts and our intents. That's what it's talking about in Philippians 2 and 3 and 4. Let me just read that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. By the way, if I'm preaching right at you, that's the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to know, I'm preaching right at me too. I'm preaching right at me. I need this. I need this. I need to examine my thoughts. I need to examine my actions and my intentions. Do I love this idea because it's my idea? Because it's God's leading. And I could, if I had all the time, I could take you examples in my life. In which, especially when I was younger, as an area missionary, I had these great ideas, and I wanted them because I knew they would work. I was a youth leader. I could do this. And my leadership didn't always listen to that because they had others that had ideas. And I would get frustrated. But you guys never get frustrated, am I right? Am I married to this idea? Now, married means you're joined at the hip. That means that you're not going to go forward unless it's your idea that is taking place. Is the motive I have truly for God's glory or people, think about this, or people to see me with this great idea? Ken Dady has this awesome idea. C.S. Lewis made this statement. I quote, I wondered what would happen if God would have granted all my silly prayers. Let me read that again. I wondered what would have happened if God would have granted me all my silly prayers. See, it's interesting as we look at this, the central example is Jesus. He gave himself. This is not in the slide, but the phrase is, but the idea of Philippians 2, 7 and 8, it says he made himself nothing. Well, 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we know. Remember his first miracle? It was turning water to what?
Wine.
And he said to his mom, it's not my time yet. But mom says, do what he says. He obeyed mom, even though he is the Messiah. And then he went on to heal people and even raise people from the dead, including Lazarus. And yet, he still served as a servant. He could have stood there before the Sanhedrin and he could have just overpowered them. He had the ability to call legions of angels and destroy everybody that was against him. But he didn't. Because see, he loved you. He loved you. He loved you. He loved you guys. He loved you. And you. And you. And us. He loved us enough to be willing to be whipped, to be lied about, to be put on a cross, to die, to shed his blood, to have the crown of thorns, to carry a cross to the extent his body would allow him to. if it was just his idea, you know, I am the king, I am the savior, I am the Messiah, he could have done away with them. But he did it so you and I could go to heaven. Is that awesome? You and I could go to heaven. In Galatians, it says this, Galatians 5. We'll look at a few verses there. He's asking here, you were running a good race, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth. Now, by itself, that sounds, I wonder what that's about. In the first six verses, Paul is talking about, why do you allow these guys that come in and say, in order to be a believer of God, you've got to be circumcised. If you're a guy, you got to be circumcised. And you can't be a child of God unless that happens. And Paul says, why are you throwing that in? Why are you allowing them? Why aren't you listening to the word of truth? See, the principle is obeying. You were running a good race, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth. See, the principle here that when we have divisions, the first place we need to look at, one, is pray. Second of all, is look at God's word. What does God say about what is happening? And by the way, I don't see any place in God's word where it tells us what color our walls should be, what color our carpet should be, all those crazy things. Sometimes churches get messed up in discussions and debates. But if indeed we're going to obey the truth, then we need to know the truth of God's word. And if you're not sure, dig into God's word. Dig into God's word. See what he says. Go to those who truly want God's word to be center of your life. Don't just go to those guys that will throw out verses, but go to those guys that will take you and sit you down with the Bible and say, let's look at this together. Let's look at this together and see what God says. It's important for us to look at God's word, examine God's word, and then compare what this is saying to God's word. God's word is the gold standard. And you look down at verse 10 there, and it says this, I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. In other words, allow no other belief that is not from the Lord. Take no other belief than that which comes from the Lord. Example is Jesus, but as that Paul was writing to the Galatians, and then as Jesus was talking to his disciples, the very verse that I just quoted and that we read earlier, John 13, 34 and 35, we're to love one another. By the way, love erases a lot of things. For example, how many years ever had kids? I know you two haven't. Okay? Were your kids always good? Did they sometimes act mean? Did you still love them? Did you still hug them? Did you still forgive them? Amen? That's what God does with us. But we need to do that with one another. Because we will hurt each other. Because we're people. We do will mess with other people's thinking or feelings until we stop and say, you know what? I've been really wrong. I think I'm right in my idea, but I've been wrong in my approach. I've been wrong in my attitude. I've been wrong in my words. Please forgive me. Let's start over. Can we do that? So, in Ephesians 3:10, it says this. And it's really neat how it says this. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What is a church? What is a church? What is the church? The people. This building is not a church. This is where the church gathers. Amen? I'm glad for the building. I'm glad that we have warmth in the wintertime, and I have coolness in the summertime. I'm glad that when the rain is raining, I'm safe in here. But this isn't the church. You and I are the church. And we need to reflect the Lord in all that we do, even in times of debate and of differences. But let's take Jesus, John 17, starting with verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. Jesus is praying for the disciples, but he's also, and realize that he wasn't just talking about the 12 disciples. He had many people following him. Many people following him. And at times he's had up to 5,000 plus that were around him. He had men, he had women that were taking care of him, traveling with him. Different people, he was praying for them. And in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He's praying for you and me. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, he's praying for you and me back then, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I in them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved me even as you love me. So, how we treat one another reflects Christ. How we treat one another reflects Christ. Now, I can't remember. Are you guys in dorms? Or are you in a rooming house?
Off-campus housing.
Off-campus housing. That's where I lived when I was at Ohio State from my freshman year on. So, but you have others with you, or just the two of you?
I have one roommate. Yes.
Okay. And I remember my first roommate. I was there first, 2 days before him. I picked the best part of the closet. I picked the top drawers. And I didn't know this till about 3 months in, but he was really upset that I took all the best places. But that was my, instead of me saying, hey, where would you like to put yours? That I became, quote unquote, the alpha dog in that room. And we grew to be very good friends once we aired out our feelings where we're at. But the whole idea, even as roommates, there's problems. A team, there's a problem. With a family, there's problems. Are we willing to be unified and have open discussion? Be one, even as we are one. See, only a church unified, DCCCC, will not have a witness to those around us if you and I, as people of DCCC, are unified together. Only a church unified can stand against Satan. Only a family united can stand against Satan. And I have seen families torn apart because people refuse to learn to be unified. Only a family united can stand against Satan. See, the unity that we have with one another reflects the gospel, because the gospel means that Jesus humbled himself and he died for us and he shed his blood for us, was raised from the dead for us, that we might have eternal life. That we'd have eternal life. And so what we need to do is to submit to that and not let, quote unquote, how can this be because we are people of science. What's interesting, the more I study about science, the more it proves who God is. So, are we willing to be of one mind, one spirit within our family, within our rooms, within our teams, within our church, within our jobs? Are we willing to be a reflection of the gospel? See, the application is this. When in conflict, we need to look inward first. When in conflict, rather than pointing my finger at someone, that I need to say, okay, what's my part in this? By the way, those who have children at home, are you ever wrong as a parent? You're smiling. Yeah, we are. There's times. And there's times when I had to go to my son and say, son, you deserve the punishment, but you didn't deserve